All right, as we prepare for worship this morning, we just want to highlight a few announcements. This coming Saturday will be our men's fellowship. We're going to be here at the church pavilion. There'll be a fantastic breakfast provided and great fellowship and devotional time. So we just encourage men to come on out. And we're going to talk about our future plans. What as a men's ministry we'd like to see ourselves modeled as and what we want to do in the future. So the men's fellowship will be meeting this Saturday at 7 a.m. at the pavilion. We'd love to see all men there and highly encourage you to be there. We do want to let you know the annual conference report. Annual conference has come and gone. The report will be given on September 6th during the Sunday school hour. So we encourage you to be here during that time to hear what's happening throughout the denomination. And there's the Kobe's Bike and Hike. We're looking forward to that event. That is one of the greatest fundraising events that they have. And youth should be making their way around to raise funds to help them meet their goals and the Kobe's to meet their goals as well. And that's on September 13th. And we encourage the youth to participate in that and others as well. And we just want to thank you for your patience today with the floors being waxed and it's looking wonderful down there. I don't know if you took a peek, but I did. It looks awesome. So I think we'll be thankful for once that is totally finished and able to go about our normal routine. Are there other announcements you'd like to highlight? I see sub sandwich sale. It always brings a big smile to my face when I see the sub sandwich sale by the Women's Fellowship. That's for Thursday, September 10th. So you want to order now. Deadline's the 30th, which is next Sunday. So make those choices. The forms just right out there in the narthex. And subs are always delicious. And chow chow, what could be better to go with it? So order those and help with the fundraisers with the Women's Fellowship. Other announcements this morning you'd like to highlight? I know Lois Gerhardt this morning had asked for any volunteers willing to work the cashier stand at the relief auction. It's in the food stand area, and that's on Saturday. They need volunteers from 12 to 3, and then after 3 to help with the food cleanup. But just contact Lois if you'd be willing to volunteer during that time for the disaster relief auction. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? There'll be a microphone going around, and we'd encourage you to wait for that so we all can hear you. Okay, let's pray, and we invite you to rise for our opening worship time. Father, we just thank you for meeting us here in this place. We thank you for your love that you continually pour out upon us. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would search us, that you would allow us to be even convicted this morning, Lord, of things that may need to be realigned in our lives. And we're just thanking you for the opportunity to be here with brothers and sisters of like-mindedness. And we pray that our faith would increase and that you would continually make all the difference in our lives. And just thank you, Lord, for your presence here among us. Hear our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for our opening hymn number 89, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful singing this morning. I always appreciate your voices. We invite you this morning to share in any joys or concerns that you may have following the prayer time. We'll have a special blessing for any students or teachers that are here this morning, and we'll allow you to remain in your seats and just invite those around you to stretch your hands towards them as we pray a special blessing over them as they head to school. And those that have already left for college, we keep them in prayer, and those that are soon heading to college, we keep in prayer. But we invite you now to share any joys or concerns that you may have. We do have a prayer request for Tom, who is Sari Kolb's dad, having ear surgery, a reconstructive surgery, and we're just praying that'll be a successful surgery, that they could use a hearing aid, that he might be able to be able to use the gift of his ears. So keep Tom in your prayer this week as you pray for those on our prayer concerns. Others to share this morning.
I'd like to just share that the other week at our deacons meeting, when we were talking about anointing and things, we talked about the use of our prayer room that's in the back corner behind where the audio sits. Every Sunday morning, we will be having deacons available so that if during the worship service you feel that you just are in need of prayer or want some time of prayer, there will be a deacon back there to be able to pray with you. And the deacons will also be available after worship service back there too if someone feels that extra need for prayer or anointing. So I wanted to share that with you. And then I'd just like to share a joy. This weekend I was at the Women of Faith Conference down in Philadelphia. And what a joy it was to worship with 10,000 other women, singing hymns of praise, learning some new songs, and just hearing some fabulous speakers. And I'm just excited about what God is doing in everyone's lives. And it's just so neat knowing that we can all come to worship from whatever place we are and worship together. And, you know, it's just such a neat dynamic place to be. And then I have one concern that I'd like to share. On Saturday morning, I met a gentleman. I don't know his name. He's a pastor who his wife died. And since his wife's death, he hasn't been able to return to the church because he just hasn't felt that it's a place that he can feel comfortable without his wife. And so this morning he is starting a home study group because he knows that there's some other people that have similar feelings or other reasons why they don't go to the church itself. And so I just pray God's blessing over them as they are worshiping and figuring out a new path of direction for this home group.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like prayer for James Mills. He found out this week he has stage 4 lung cancer, and just would like some prayers for him.
Thank you.
I and friends of mine have continued to have concerns for Lucy Brubaker, who is continuing to deal with cancer issues.
Two updates. Amy is all settled in her apartment, awaiting for her her friend to arrive at the end of this week. And for Curtis, they're beginning the process of his paperwork for his release. He's still hoping that he might get out a little earlier than October. We're hoping for sure that he gets out by October. But he did inform us last week when we went up that they have begun the paperwork.
Thank you. Others this morning, it's always such a joy to bring our prayer concerns to the Lord because we know we serve a God that hears our prayers and meets us in our time of need. Yes, Gary.
Well, you mentioned earlier the disaster relief auction. There's going to be a poster in the back starting, hopefully, I was supposed to get it out this week, but hopefully next week. But there's two events I want to really lift up during that event, that time. One is the share meal. It seems like year after year, they've been getting less meals and more people that want to attend meals. So if you like to cook meals and you would love to share a meal with somebody, they're looking for people to prepare meals. So think about that. And the other one is a new event this year at the Disaster Relief Auction, and they're having a 5K run walk at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's something they're going to give a try, and if you want to pre-register for that by the 31st of August, you go to www.active.com and you can register for that event.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
I would like to have prayer for, her name is Heather Delp. She died in a car accident Friday a week ago. You probably saw it on the news. She was driving I'm trying to think where it was, down on 78. She had her four quad children with her. I had worked with her for a short time, and she's a very wonderful lady. She has lived quite a life, but just prayer for her family. She had two other older children along with the four quads, and her parents, who will probably be raising the children. It was just such a shock to everyone. And then for my parents, my mom called hospice in to help with my father. He has days where he is not so good, and trust me, those are few than the days that he is good for his condition. So just keep them in prayer, because it's hard on my mom to see my dad. For those of you who remember how he was to how he is now, it's very hard for my mom to see that, so. Yes.
Thank you. Any others this morning? Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, there's times in our lives where we call upon your name in a great manner, and we know that you're a great God, and we're praying for that great power to be released from you, Lord. We've seen through Scripture many times where you healed the sick, and we're praying, Lord, for those this morning that are dealing with cancer and other illnesses in their lives, and we're just praying for that healing touch in a mighty, powerful way upon them. Lord, we know that your name is above all names, and we know that you have conquered the evil one. And Father, we're just praying that you would just release your healing touch, especially upon James and upon Lucy this morning and upon others that are struggling with health issues. And Father, we're going to give you glory. We're going to rejoice whether your healing touch is there or whether you choose another path for those individuals. But Father, we pray that you would sustain them, that you would allow their lives to continually be drawn towards you, and that they would find their strength and their hope in those everlasting arms. And Father, we think of loved ones that have lost family members, and Heather, who has died recently in a car accident, and the family that's left behind, and others, Lord, that have dealt with loss. And we're just praying your peace, Lord. We're praying your comfort. We're praying, Lord, for understanding. We don't always understand the plan that you have through these unexpected accidents, but Lord, we know in some small way good will come from it. But Lord, in the meantime, we just pray that we would be patient as we listen and as we are obedient to you, Lord, and just feel your touch through these times. And Lord, we think of those that are dealing with just unexpected stress in their life. Lord, things that have happened that they just weren't expecting to happen. And we're just praying for guidance, and we're just praying for your discernment in those times, Lord, as they face uncertainties. And this morning, we just want to pray for Tom in a very special way. And we pray for the surgery that's upcoming, Lord. And just pray that would be a successful surgery, that he'd be able to have hearing again. But Lord, we also know that miraculous touch that you've had in the past and in current times. And we're praying that you would just touch Tom's ears even now and just allow him to hear. And we again, Lord, would give you all the glory. But Father, now we pray that you would hear our prayers from our hearts, Lord. You know each of us very well and better than we know ourselves. And pray that you would just hear our confessions and also hear those prayers within our hearts during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, thank you for your forgiveness that's offered through your Son on the cross. We pray, Lord, too, that you would be with Curtis as he continues to serve his sentence, Lord, but we know the paperwork is being processed. And we're praying, Lord, that if it be your will, you would just speed that paperwork, allow it to go through, that his release would be sooner than later, Lord. But we're just rejoicing with Curtis that we'll be reunited soon with family and just be able to love on him again, Lord, and continue to encourage him in person. And we just thank you for the time that he's been able to learn through this about himself and about life and about his family, Lord, and the connections he has. And we just thank you, too, for Amy, who's been able to be settled in now, and just pray that as her roommates come and they have a joyous time there, that she would just continue to learn a wealth of information. And we think, Lord, too, of Sue's father and the hospice that he's now receiving, and praying for her mother as well with dealing with this change, and just pray that, Lord, your touch would be upon him as he goes through this new time in his life and this new chapter. And we pray, Lord, that we would just turn to you each and every day as we go through various struggles in our life. And we also would turn to you for those times that we rejoice. We know the Women of Faith Conference and the impact it has on so many women. And we just pray that it would just empower each of them to want to make a difference in this world. And we just, again, Lord, lift up that man who lost his wife within the last several months and just pray that you would nurture him and you would comfort him, Lord. And perhaps, Lord, this new home study is what you're calling him to. And we just pray that you would just allow that to be fruitful as well. And thank you for each one here, Lord, and just pray your abundant blessings upon them as we go through this week. And may you just allow our hearts to beat the same as your heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're just going to ask if there's any students here or any teachers here, just to slip your hand up in the air real quick. We can see some students back in the right corner. We see a teacher right here in the front, just went right real quick. We learned in the first service, if you ever want your students to really be quiet, ask for joys and concerns. The second service kind of proved that wrong, but first service, we asked for joys and concerns, and it was rather quiet. But try that sometime in your classroom, see what happens. We invite just those around the students and the teachers just to reach your hand towards them. We just want to let them know that God is with them, that God is near them. And as they go through this first week and new things, a new grade, new teacher, and just different situations, that God is also with them. So just reach your hand towards those students around you. There's Abby back there in the corner. There's Jack and Savannah. And there's some EB right here. There's some others around us. There's a teacher up front here. So we want to lift all them up this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for teachers. We want to thank you for the impact that Christian teachers can have on their students. And we just want to especially pray for Jeremy this morning and others, Lord, that may be teachers here, and just ask that you would give them guidance, you would give them wisdom to be able to handle the situations that they find in the classroom. But Lord, we know that you give them this bright light to shine within them, and they can lead by example, they can teach by example. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with these teachers and allow them to love their students like you would, Lord, but also to be able to allow them to see the education that they're receiving in a new way, in a new light, Lord, as you allow them to teach from your perspective. And we think, Lord, of our dear students, Lord. We know that the first day of school can be an exciting time, but we also know it can be a time where we're full of just a little anxiety, a little stress, and we're just wondering what's going to happen that day. So we just want to pray your peace upon these students, Lord. And we know some are going to college, some are going back to high school, to elementary school, maybe to preschool for the first time. And we're just lifting them up, Lord. We're asking you would just comfort them and help them to get a good night's sleep tonight, knowing that in the morning it's going to be okay, and you're going to go with them. And we just pray your blessing over them. And we just thank you for each one. And just be with each of us, Lord, as we're all students and we learn on a daily basis. And just thank you for the learning opportunities we have to grow in our faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll rise to your feet and turn to 324, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. We'll sing the first verse, and everybody will sing the Alleluias. And then when we go back to sing the second verse, I invite you to choose whether you want to sing the verse or the Alleluias.
Thank you.
This morning, as we give our offering this morning, we think about our lives. We think about those times where we've wondered where our next food item is going to come from, or we wonder where our rent payment's going to come from, or our mortgage is going to come from. And we know in all these things that we can trust God and we can hand our finances to Him. And we're praying this morning, we would just allow God to be in control of every part of our life, Lord, that we would just give it to You and surrender on a daily basis, even our finances, which can be often very difficult. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You that You do provide. We sometimes look at our checkbook and we look at our expenses and we wonder how our end's going to meet this month. But Lord, we know in a miraculous way that You provide for Your children. And it's simply by trusting and obeying, Lord, that You meet our needs. And so we pray, Lord, this morning that we would trust You. We would be obedient in our giving, our tithing, our offering this morning. And You would allow us to do so with a cheerful heart. And that we would trust You to know that You are our supply, that You provide all that we need. And we just thank You for loving us in such a wonderful way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to 116, Crown Him with Many Crowns, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
like to invite any children forward this morning for our children's moment. We're going to be talking about something hidden. We're going to talk about something buried. And I want you to think about what might be hidden and what might be buried. What do you think? Have you ever found anything hidden or buried before? Digging in your backyard? I did one time, and it was a rusty old toy cap gun. I have a feeling if I would have got it appraised, it'd be worth megabucks. What do you think? But instead, I threw it in the trash. Megabucks is a lot of money. That's a lot of value. So this morning, we're going to be talking about treasure. And in this box right here, I found some old hidden treasure. As a matter of fact, what I discovered in the first service is a lot of these things were when my wife and I were first married. And so you can see some of these treasures. Wasn't I a great jewelry picker-outer? Look at some of this stuff. Isn't that beautiful? Would you wear that?
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty big one here, wouldn't it? Yeah. But one thing I found in here that I thought was like the coolest thing ever. No, not the toenail clippers. The pearl earrings. Now, in Scripture, Jesus tells us a parable. He tells us a story about the pearl of greatest price. Now, what do you think that person did in order to attain the pearl? What do you think he did? Do you think he stole it? No, he didn't steal it. Do you think he went back home and grabbed all the money he could to get the pearl? Do you think that was enough? Mm-hmm. You think maybe? Mm-hmm. Well, let's say he did that, and he went back, and the guy was like, nah, sorry, I can't give you the pearl for that. So then what'd he do? Do you think he went and sold everything he had because he found the pearl of greatest price? I can't imagine why my wife doesn't wear those anymore. They're so beautiful. She's all the way in the back, and she's looking at me with that death stare. But the pearl, this guy had to have, and he went and sold everything. Can you imagine selling everything to have that one treasure in your life that you're searching for? Can you imagine doing that? Selling everything? Going home and telling, hey, mom and dad, I've got to have this, so guess what? We're selling the house. You got to sell your cars, too. You think mom and dad would go over that? Just so you could have that, oh, I don't know, Xbox video game? Probably not. But there is a treasure. There is a pearl of greatest price that we all can have. It's available to all of us. Does anyone want to guess what that greatest treasure is, that pearl of greatest price is? You want to guess?
In the sand.
What?
In the sand.
In the sand we find treasures, yes. But this treasure is high above. He's all around us. It's a person. What do you think? God, his son Jesus. And so sometimes we think he's not available to us. But what he tells us is even though it's a hidden treasure, that's the idea of heaven or eternity. So Jesus is available to each and every single one of us. And so I want you to be reminded, there's a lot of treasures you're going to find in this life, a lot of things that you're going to value, a lot of friends that you're going to value. But there's no greater treasure than Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for the treasure that you give us within your Son, Jesus Christ. The treasure, the pearl of greatest price of knowing eternity can be spent in heaven with you. We know these children are young, but we pray that we would begin to plant seeds in their lives, that one day they would be able to choose you and be able to live for you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them even now, that you would allow their lives to just draw closer to you. And we thank you for each one. We thank you for the treasures that they have here, the family and the friends and the items that you have given them. And we just pray, Lord, that they would make you their main focus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
a simple yet thought-provoking question for us this morning. What do we treasure? For some, perhaps it's not what we treasure, but who we treasure. Over time, our treasures change. For me, as a child, I treasured a matchbox car. But it wasn't just any matchbox car. It was a yellow Lamborghini. And at night when I would go to sleep, that yellow Lamborghini matchbox car would be next to me on my pillow. And there on my wall in the dimness of my nightlight would be a poster of that similar yellow Lamborghini. And I would dream at night that one day that Lamborghini would be my own. It's amazing how quickly dreams fade and perish. But I treasured it in my mind. And treasures, we learn, have importance to us. Our children, our spouses, even our pets. They're valuable. They're one of a kind. They can't be replaced. A classic car, a jewelry piece, a family farm. When we lose them, our lives are missing something of great worth. Whether it's a person, a place, or a thing, our minds are consumed and drawn toward them. However, they take on a whole new meaning as we consider how they affect our lives. You see, when we hold something or someone so precious to our lives, we're willing to sacrifice to keep them. To sacrifice is to give up, to surrender, to let go of. And this morning, I want us to think about what have we surrendered to maintain our treasures? For some, it may be forfeiting other pleasures to keep that one meaningful possession. For others, it may be a certain career to have the time to spend with the one we treasure. This morning, I'd invite us to take a brief moment and to survey our lives and to consider what it is we've given up to have treasure in this world. Now, I want us to ask ourselves, is it really worth it? Many of us, and rightfully so, will answer yes. But does that treasure require so much attention that it takes away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We've hit on this before, but how important are priorities in our lives? Do certain items or certain people trump the time we spend with God in prayer, in study, in communion with fellow believers? It seems like there's this competing force in our lives for our full attention. And we can be assured that there's an adversary, an enemy, wanting nothing more than to keep our focus off the greatest treasure, the pearl of greatest price we find in Christ Jesus. When that attention gets diverted, we'll remain wanting, we'll remain empty. And though that earthly treasure satisfies in many ways, it will never have the ability to fill us the same way Jesus does. Now, some of you are sitting on the edge of your seat right now and you're saying, wait a minute, hold on, Pastor Matt, you can't tell me that my wife or my husband or my children aren't the greatest treasure I have. They bring me joy, they bring me happiness, they bring me such love. And to that extent, I totally agree. My wife, my children, my family mean the world to me. I can't imagine the pain we suffer as we lose loved ones, especially at times we least expect. But with that in mind, Jesus, the Messiah, will fill that void. He'll provide us with compassion and mercy, his love and his hope that he offers us that one day seeing that loved one again is very real. We learn that Jesus satisfies the longing of our souls. He satisfies the cry of our hearts. He's the difference my friends, in our eternity. He allows these treasures to remain in our lives, yet at the same time, he requires us to prioritize them, to forsake them from becoming an idol. An idol, we know, is anything that becomes more valuable than what Jesus is. It distracts us from our eternal perspective. And why not? It's so easy. We live in the here and now. It's where our focus is. But I encourage you, when we turn our attention to the eternal, we'll begin to realize what really matters. There's no treasure or pearl in this world of comparison. He becomes our all in all. And as we surrender to him, the treasures of this world, those people that we love the most, benefit from aligning Christ and making him our priority. You see, we'll learn to love them even better. And we'll begin to see them through the eyes of our Redeemer. If we recall the video from a few moments ago, we find the man treasuring that music box. We have to think there must have been something rather special about that music box that he was willing to sacrifice to buy the business to attain it. What we didn't see in the video was this music box belonged to him as a child. It was signified when he turned it over and he saw the initials on the bottom. And when he cranked it up and he played it, it reminded him of those days he spent with his father who gave him that precious gift. For some of us, those treasures are stored up in our hearts as memories, and they carry us through every day. And when that opportunity arises to regain that memory in a tangible form, we'll make sacrifices to own it. This morning, there's a similar story we find in Matthew 13, 44 to 46. I'd invite us this morning to turn there in our Bibles, and let's read that together aloud. It may appear on the screen as well. Let's read together. Matthew 13, 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Let's pray. Father, we know that deep down you are our greatest treasure. We know you are the pearl of greatest price. Yet, Lord, this life competes for our attention, and we confess that we get distracted, we lose our focus. But Father, we're praying in Jesus' name that you would help us regain that eternal perspective of who you are as our Savior, as our most valued treasure, as our best friend. These things we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we learn in the Old Testament is that the use of treasure represented something stored, something concealed, something desirable, made ready, and thus valuable. It was a literal use of the word referring to money, land, natural wealth from pursuits such as fishing. However, when that word treasure is used in the figurative speech, such as we find in Job 20, 26, where it reads, "Total darkness lies in wait for his treasure," we find in a negative sense depicting judgment stored up for the wicked. We turn now to the Greek New Testament, and that word treasure sounds a lot like the word thesaurus. And thesaurus is the idea of being able to explore every possible way of stating an idea. In the same way, everything that really needs to be made known or said is founded in Christ. This treasure is hidden in him, but he himself is not hidden. This is such a crucial matter for us to understand this morning. We discover that the kingdom is hidden everywhere. Yet Jesus came to be made known. He's not hiding and saying, "Count to 100 and then try to find me."
Not at all like our child LJ, who hid so well we didn't find him for hours until we opened his wooden toy chest. He's in the open. He's available for all of us to know. But the choice remains ours whether we'll accept him. But we dare not say he cannot be found. It's not like a brain teaser, one of which says, I dig out tiny caves and store gold and silver in them. I also build bridges of silver and make crowns of gold. They are the smallest ones you could imagine. Sooner or later, everyone needs my help, yet many people are afraid to let me help them. Who am I? And the answer, we find out, is the dentist. You see, nothing we have is worth more than what Jesus promises us. The question this morning is, do we truly believe this? Can we actually say the kingdom of heaven is worth all we have? In scriptural context, we learn that treasures were often buried for safekeeping. Foreign armies were constantly overrunning areas in Palestine. And in many cases, people wouldn't make it back to retrieve their wealth, and so others would find it. We can imagine here in the book of Matthew, there's a peasant working in the field of a wealthy landowner. He finds the treasure, but immediately covers it up again so the landowner does not claim it for himself. We learn that in rabbinic law, you were required to turn that in to the master. So by hiding it again, it gave him the opportunity to go sell everything, to come back and to buy the field in which that treasure was found. It was stories like these that circulated around the poor quite often. So Jesus uses this story to awaken his hearers to seek for a treasure far greater than any on earth. And it's the same with the pearl. The merchant found one of great value and he leaves to sell everything so he could return to buy it. It's also like a woman who had tremendous treasure hidden in her house. And she had returned home from a church service to find an intruder robbing her home. She yelled at him, "Stop! Acts 2:38!" And the burglar stopped in his tracks. She thought to herself, "Wow, the pastor was right. Memorizing scripture is good for me." So the woman dialed the police and explained what she did. As the officer caught the man and took him in, he said, "Why'd you just stand there? All the lady did was yell scripture at you." "Scripture? Scripture," yelled the burglar. "She said she had an axe and 2:38s. Whether we're seeking for the pearl or we come across that hidden treasure, the kingdom is worth everything. Nothing should stand in the way of our commitment to Christ. We don't let go at any price. No sacrifice is too great into comparison to what we gain through eternal life. This, again, isn't an offer for a select few, but the kingdom is available for all. God's not asking us to do anything he hasn't already done. It's easy for us to say it's too much. We can't handle letting go of our grip on this world. Yet God demonstrates how much he loves us and is willing to sacrifice for us. That he sends his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. That we might have eternal life if only we believe he died and rose again. I believe in the society we live in, too often we minimize this and we don't fully grasp what God has done. You see, we once were dead in our sin. Our lives were separated from God. But the cross, the resurrection, the person of Jesus Christ has solved the sin issue for all of us. There's not one thing that we have done that hasn't been taken care of on the cross. Brothers and sisters, we must lose our grip on sin and hold tight to Christ. We don't ever let go at any price. And when we begin to feel confident about that grip, we have no fear for this life, for we know where our eternity lies in the kingdom of heaven.
These parables challenge us to have Jesus as our priority. He's worth every pain. He's worth every trial, every heartache we'll ever go through. He promises he'll never let us go. No matter what happens, he'll be there for us at all times. We can rest in peace, knowing it's worth it all. Nothing we have will ever be worth more than what Jesus promises. Again, the question this morning is, do we really believe that? And Jesus asks us that very question, is the kingdom of heaven worth all we have? Many people will live with competing treasures. But Jesus challenges us to focus on that one treasure. God's not demanding everything to control us or to trick us out of life's pleasures, missing out on all the fun. As a matter of fact, God doesn't need anything from us at all. Rather, what he has and offers is all we need. What he has and offers is all we need is. Whatever we have as our treasure or pearl of greatest price in this world, it won't come close to what Jesus has in store for us. So our challenge is this, and we've learned this all through life. Anything worth anything at all requires sacrifice. Are we willing to invest all we have in the kingdom of heaven? The things we grasp tightly, thinking they'll make us happy, sooner or later disappoint. Only a relationship with Jesus will truly satisfy. Don't let go at any price. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would search our hearts. For we know, Lord, that your word tells us where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And we're praying, Lord, this morning that our hearts would be in tune with the greatest treasure, the pearl of greatest value found in you, our salvation. Lord, we know there we also find peace and comfort. We find protection. We're asking, Lord, that you would help us this morning to align our priorities, to make the time to invest fully in you. We know, Lord, this world one day shall pass. Our lives are fleeting, only temporary. But Lord, we also understand that your kingdom is eternal. And Father, we pray our lives would live for the rest of these days on this earth with that focus. Be our guide. Be our strength. Be our hope when we fall. For we know, Lord, when we do fall, you pick us back up. And you dust us off and you send us back into the world, redeemed. So, Lord, may our lives reflect your glory. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to take the folders out of your pews for the last hymn. It's the first one, Blessed Are They, and don't forget to turn the page for the chorus.
Thank you.
God is still speaking. He's calling us to a renewal of our hearts. He's calling us to a greater transformation, that we lay down the treasures of this earth and we take up our cross and we follow Him. Sold out, surrendered, fully devoted to Him. May we do so the remainder of our days on this earth. Amen.